Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. The primary election is less than 2 weeks away. Last week, we talked with Katie McGinty and Tom Wolf, two of the four Democratic candidates vying for a chance to unseat Republican Governor Tom Corbett in November. This week, we turn our attention to State Treasurer Rob McCord and Congresswoman Allison Schwartz. We begin the half hour with Rob McCord in an interview recorded on April 17th. A former venture capitalist, he's serving his second term as state treasurer. Rob McCord, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet.
Why do you want to be governor of Pennsylvania?
For me, it starts with investing again in education. I've loved being treasurer, and the McCord Treasury has done a lot of things I was dying to do when I was running for the office, and some things I didn't even know I'd have the privilege of doing. We knew we'd be able to protect seniors by improving the performance of pension investments. We knew we needed to repair the college savings program. That was a $400 million problem, and I was the sole fiduciary. And then I didn't expect to be able to do so much as a fiscal watchdog, suing the gaming board successfully, driving up government efficiency, and paying for ourselves six times over and all that kind of stuff. But the other surprise for me was that I got in so many common sense battles with Tom Corbett, just fighting him again and again and again. I mean, recently on the misguided crony capitalist attempt to privatize the lottery in a way that would hurt seniors, a sort of a sweetheart deal on the LCB stuff, you know, and so forth. And I realized I could do a lot if I'm governor to actually invest again in education and job creation that I can't do if I'm not governor.
Let's talk a little bit about your battle with Governor Corbett over the privatization of the lottery. Was your objection to a bad deal or to privatization in general?
Well, I'm more against a bad deal than I am against the word privatization. As a rule, I think there usually can be worker-friendly approaches to public-private partnerships that, you know, can turn potential liabilities like infrastructure and so forth into assets. So I don't want anybody to think I am not an innovative business leader who would listen to proposals. What's really frightening about the big two privatization deals that were proposed is they were sweetheart crony capitalist deals that really looked like they'd been sort of reverse engineered to line the pockets of the buyer as opposed to adequately representing, in this case, the seller. And I think the seller should really be a leaser, that the people of Pennsylvania should keep control of these assets in the long run with all kinds of sort of belt and suspender controls. And what was frightening about the lottery privatization is this relates directly to seniors, seniors, seniors. And we're getting a very bad deal for senior citizens. And when they came and briefed me, I said, now you're going to have multiple bidders and you're going to talk to the union. You're going to make sure this is legal. And you're going to be clear about whether or not Keno is included. And the answer was, oh, yes, on all fronts. Well, turned out not true on any of the fronts. There was only one bidder. They were opaque, not transparent about the Keno. They didn't talk to the unions until after I started, frankly, confronting them in the press. So I was very proud that we were a part of defeating at least the first attempt to do this.
Yeah, there are some who say that the person who really squashed that deal was Attorney General Kathleen Kane.
There were two or three things that went on that were all of which I think were a piece of the process. There was actually an attempt, even after Kathleen Kane said this is illegal, to say, fine, screw it, we're going to make it legal. So they could have passed a law crossing the T, so to speak, that Kathleen Kane had erected and said, we are going to explicitly give permission to the Secretary of Revenue on his or her mark to make this decision without permission from the legislature. So it still wasn't enough, even after I started it. The Auditor General agreed with me after doing an audit, and Kathleen Kane said, yep, Rob's also right that this is illegal. They were going to try to pass it on a pure Republican vote basis. This was a team effort because some Republican legislators, referring to the objections that I had raised early, said this is just not the kind of thing we can be passing in the dark of night. If it is true that the independently elected fiscal watchdogs, both the Treasurer, Treasurer McCord, and I want to recognize Eugene DePasquale as well, the new Auditor General, both of us pointed out that all the evidence suggested this was a bad deal. They could try to turn around and make it legal. We didn't think it was legal initially. We knew they could invent a loophole if they wanted to make it legal. But we said this is a horrible deal for seniors. And we could have done much better, better for the workers. And ultimately, we were able to persuade Republicans, not just Kathleen King.
If we look at the four candidates in this race, environmentalist Katie McGinty, Congresswoman Allison Schwartz, and businessman Tom Wolf, you all have very, very similar platforms when it comes to the big issues. So what distinguishes you from your opponents, and why do you think you're the right person for this job?
Yeah, and that's, I think, the core question. And these are good people, by the way. I regard them as friends, people of good character, et cetera. So the answer really boils down to two points. The first is my blend of experience, both professional and personal. I, too, am a business leader. I was able to help create thousands of jobs right here in Pennsylvania and to work in a broad variety of businesses, not just one firm. It's better business experience. I also have experience protecting seniors and students and taxpayers as a statewide elected executive. So experience matters, and experience fighting and defeating Tom Corbett, not just winning statewide elections, but being in the arena fighting Tom Corbett again and again matters. People value that. But also, I do want to just sort of challenge the premise of the question a little bit and say we do have bigger, bolder policy approaches, first and foremost in sort of building a bridge to somewhere between the need to invest again in education, obviously including Penn State, state-related schools, and so forth, and providing appropriate revenue streams. We propose a 10% driller's tax. My opponents are proposing a 5% driller's tax. Believe it or not, in Harrisburg, they are now already noodling on the Republican side of the aisle about embracing a 5% driller's tax. We need a progressive, smart, business-oriented Democrat to make the case that we can go get a 10% driller's tax. That's an extra $800 million a year. That helps to take care of things like the $75 million a year cut to Penn State, by the way. It's a $1.63 billion revenue stream that climbs to $3 billion. And I just, for the life of me, don't know why my opponents would leave several hundred million dollars in the driller's pockets. I mean, Tom Wolf and the rest of them, in my view, have just failed to propose the right driller's tax rate. What's interesting about this is not a tax on the people of Pennsylvania. The customers are primarily outside Pennsylvania. The producers are outside Pennsylvania-based companies. And you don't hurt job creation, because if you're going to frack beneath our soil, you've got to be on our soil. But what's great about this bolder approach, not only gets a fair deal for the people of Pennsylvania, it allows us fully to fund public education. So you can't have candidates just talking about funding education without having detailed plans, which I do, by far the most detailed, and having a proposition for how to get the revenues in a smart way. And that's what the McCord 10% driller's tax does.
Recent polls show you in third place with York businessman Tom Wolf, the front runner, with a 27-point lead over Congresswoman Allison Schwartz. So what makes you think you can defeat your Democratic opponents and ultimately defeat Governor Corbett in November?
Well, I don't want to be overly horse race oriented, but at least the last two polls I looked at said probable voters were in second place. Remember, it's a bizarre process talking about two or three elements of this. So I'm going to give you a process answer and substance. Let me be sure I hit the substance first. We will break through in part because of my personal and professional experience. People like the idea of having a business leader who kind of knows what hardship can look and feel like, knows what it's like to be in the middle class and then to suddenly struggle. I watched that at a very young age, between the ages of 4 and 11. I watched that go on with my mom, and I was ultimately rescued by a combination of Pennsylvania public education, my mom being able to get a great middle class job, and my mom finding a good man who was a great stepfather. But I remember what that financial insecurity looks like, and that motivation, that empathy, the fact that I wasn't born on third base, the fact that I have broad business experience, broad governing experience that will help working people, that breaks through. It also is reflected in overwhelming support. We have 470,000 dues-paying members of organizations across the state under endorsement. Tom has 6,000. So a lot of the people who actually interview all the candidates have landed on me as a distant first. With, you know, and we think that over time that will lead to a very strong grassroots level of support. People also want to nominate the person, as they hear our story bit by bit, the person who's fighting and defeating Tom Corbett. And then last, the fact that we do have bigger, bolder policy proposals. And then on the process side of it, it is actually fascinating. The difference between registered voters and probable voters is huge. In some counties, you're going to have 90% of registered voters not bothering to vote. And so you've got to find the probable voter, and we've got a very well-designed campaign to go after those people.
And in fact, people on both sides of the aisle are concerned that there will be low voter turnout this election, in part because Governor Corbett is an unpopular governor. And while incumbency does have advantages, even for an unpopular governor, Pennsylvania has not ousted an incumbent since 1971. Every governor for the past four decades has been reelected.
That's exactly right, Patty. First of all, I make the point that the Governor Corbett has sort of depressed the civic engagement environment, and that to have an upbeat, high energy, highly engaged governor, I think would be terrific, not just for the Penn State community, not just for senior citizens, not just for people who care about public education, but for people who care about having good government and something less than a depressed view of the possibility of doing better. Too many people in Pennsylvania are saying, if times are so good, why am I feeling so bad? And a lot of the answer is our state government has been failing us. I mean, I'm proud of what we've done at Treasury. We've boosted productivity 62%. We've protected seniors. We've protected students who count on college savings, but that's not enough.
You sit on the boards of the two largest public pension funds in the state. How are those two funds doing under your watch?
Yeah, they're called CSRS and PSRS. The good news is, in both cases, after a disaster in the recession, we bounced back. We're well above the actuarial assumption. We've also done even better at the college savings plan, where I don't just sit on the board, I am the board, meaning I'm the sole fiduciary. So we took that from 70% funded to 101% funded. We also dramatically reduced the risk of the investment profile. That said, I think we can do far better, particularly over at CSRS, the state employee retirement system. I've been more pleased with reducing fees and other work done at the education retirement fund, what's called PSRS, than at CSRS. But the first two things we need to do is recognize that these defined benefit plans, they're guaranteed. These are legally binding promises. So it's fantasy island finance when Corbett sort of pretends that you can just do away with that debt obligation and goes after the votes of people who say, in essence, well, it's not my pension, so why should I worry about it? Well, you should worry about it because it's the honorable thing to do. Worry about it because we're talking about seniors' pension payments. Worry about it because it's good, not bad for the economy, because almost all this money is spent right here in Pennsylvania. And one other thing I did want to just circle back to, Patty, you framed the question so well. We Democrats need to recognize how hard it is to defeat and evict an incumbent governor. This governor will have the first name governor, and he will have $30 million, and he will be poised to attack. So we need a nominee who's already won statewide, a nominee who knows how to take a punch and deliver one. I'm very well built to beat Tom Corbett.
So how do you respond to Governor Corbett's criticism of your campaign when he says that you will bring back a failed tax and spend policy that got the state into a $4.2 billion deficit and double-digit unemployment?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's got to try to attack all the Democrats with sort of one swing, because the people who are really following this say it's too early to predict who's going to win. Most people are now starting to say it looks like it's going to be either McCord or Wolf, which is surprising, because early on people are like, oh, it's definitely going to be Representative Schwartz. So nobody, certainty is overrated in politics. So he's trying to swing at all of us at the same time. That particular swing misses me by the widest margin. I am the statewide elected official who's already proven that I can do more with less, that I can save money with innovation. Unlike Governor Rendell, my first order of priority is going to be to pass the driller's tax, not to pass a tax on the public in general. He can't say I voted for a single tax, that I'm a tax and spend liberal. I am a moderate, innovative business leader who says we have to invest again in education, and we have to find those revenue streams, both from doing increasing efficiency in state government and getting a fair deal for the people of Pennsylvania, the driller's tax.
All right. I wish I had time to follow up on that. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you so much, Rob McCord, for talking with us.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. That was State Treasurer and a Democratic candidate for governor, Rob McCord, in an interview recorded on April 17th. Next, we talk with U.S. Representative Allison Schwartz, who is currently serving her fifth term as Congresswoman for Pennsylvania's 13th Congressional District. We talked with her on April 25th. You have served 24 years in elected office, 14 years as a state senator, and you're currently serving your fifth two-year term as a congresswoman for Pennsylvania's 13th Congressional District, which, of course, includes Northeast and North Philadelphia and portions of Montgomery County. So I'm wondering, what got you into this race? Why do you want to be governor of Pennsylvania?
Because Pennsylvania deserves a governor who will really fight for Pennsylvania families. There are serious challenges in this state, and there are really very important opportunities. So making sure that we fairly fund education to assure every child quality education, to make sure that we do help Pennsylvanians have access to affordable, meaningful health care, to deal with the opportunities but also responsibilities around the Marcellus Shale and the energy opportunities here in Pennsylvania, and to grow the economy. We have had a governor who has brought Pennsylvania to the bottom 10 in economic growth. So I bring the experience, the record of accomplishment on getting things done that matter to families in Pennsylvania and in Congress across the country. And I want to put those skills to work for Pennsylvanians. I know what it takes to get things done. And I'm willing to go to Harrisburg to really take on the status quo. That's what I'm going to do as the next governor.
As you know, incumbency has huge advantages, even for a very unpopular governor. But you're one of four Democrats, including Katie McGinty, Rob McCord, and Tom Wolf. So why do you think you're the right person to take on Governor Corbett in November?
Well, because in contrast to everyone else you named, including the incumbent governor, I do have a record of accomplishment, of knowing how to get things done that matter. And I'm willing to take on those challenges, to set the agenda, to implement a vision, and to get things done that matter to families. Pennsylvania is a great state with incredible resources. We should leverage those resources, which include a very skilled workforce and a very hardworking, determined people, great natural resources, opportunities in biotech and healthcare and manufacturing base that we've always had, as well as an agricultural base. These are enormous opportunities, and we should be able to build on these assets to grow the economy. I bring a breadth of experience in elected office in knowing how to get things done. I've worked to pass legislation and know how to do that, and have taken on some pretty big challenges, and we've been able to get them done, like the CHIP program, or more recently in Congress working on the Affordable Care Act. We know that hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvanians have benefited. So I want to take that experience and that breadth of knowledge and that determination, and I want to put it to work for Pennsylvania families as the next governor.
You mentioned the Affordable Care Act, and while some Democrats nationwide have distanced themselves from President Obama's signature health care plan, you have been doubling down on your support of the act in ads and in national interviews. But all of the Democratic candidates for governor favor the Affordable Care Act, and all say that they will scrap the federally run insurance exchange program that Governor Corbett started and instead replace it with a state-run program. So explain to us, what distinguishes your candidacy from the other three candidates I just mentioned?
Well, no one else in this race has experience in healthcare in the private sector or in healthcare policy in the public sector. No one else has ever worked in the arena of healthcare. And so I bring a breadth of experience. I worked for almost 20 years before I was elected to office in healthcare delivery and understanding what it takes to make sure that people have access to the right kind of care. As a my work on CHIP and health policy, my work in pushing to make sure that health coverage, that pushing insurance companies to make sure that it covered the right kind of health care for women in the state Senate, in Congress, in working with academic medical centers across Pennsylvania and across the country to make sure that we train the best and the brightest health professionals, in working with a whole variety of healthcare providers and making sure that we contain the rate of growth and costs in the right way. So I bring an understanding and experience in the way we ought to not just accept the federal dollars for Medicaid expansion, but in fact to make sure that we hold the insurance companies accountable, that we push the great healthcare system we have in the state to provide the best cost-effective care possible to our people. And because I've worked in the arena, I am going to make this a priority. And because it's always been important to me, very important to me, that I will implement the Affordable Care Act in a way that works for Pennsylvania and works for Pennsylvania families. And while others have said they would take the Medicaid expansion or change the exchange, except for Tom Wolf, who's been a little vaguer about this, I have to say, He's called the Affordable Care Act a good first step. I'm not sure what that means, what he would change about it, what he wouldn't implement. But the others, you're right, have said that they would take the Medicaid expansion. I'm not sure that anyone else really understands it as keenly as I do what the opportunities are here under the Affordable Care Act.
You mentioned Tom Wolf, who you've criticized recently for the $10 million he lent to his own campaign. Some call that bank account envy, but I'd like you to explain your position on that.
Well, actually, the issues that I raised was not a criticism for his lending or borrowing money to lend to his campaign. Self-funders are allowed to give as much money as they wish. He chose to borrow and give $10 million to his campaign. The issues that I raised were, I think, important questions for him to answer before the primary election, to really make sure that voters understand what does a loan of $4.5 million that he would have to repay while he is governor, should he be elected. What does that mean? How will he do that? What effect will it have on the business that he has certainly promoted as having been very financially stable and a major success? And what does it mean to the employees, who is also touted as being his first priority? So those are important questions that I wouldn't necessarily raise, but for the loan. The loan was what was unusual.
One of the things you've also proposed, if you become governor, is creating what you call a chief integrity officer in Harrisburg, a cabinet-level position. Explain that desire to create this chief integrity officer.
Well, we've had 20 members of the legislature go to jail, be indicted and go to jail in the last number of years. And when I was in the state Senate, I watched members of the General Assembly or the Senate standing up and saying, well, this person's been indicted, but how do we protect their pensions? Things that I think were really not what the public wanted, certainly not what I wanted. So I would make sure that from the executive branch that there would be very strict rules. I would seek to pass legislation that would have a full gift ban on gifts to state legislators. The issue and the notion of the integrity officer is to make it absolutely clear to everyone in elected office or appointed position that they must meet these rules, that they will be held accountable, that they will be enforced. A behavior that violates those rules will not be tolerated. I also think you need to educate legislators on what are the rules and make sure they understand. And then again, you enforce them. That would be a change. I would even put the integrity officer's office in the Capitol, where people, elected officials, would have to walk by and be reminded that this is not just some piece of paper. This is about the public trust. This is all about making sure that the priority of legislators is to work on behalf of their constituents, to work on behalf of Pennsylvania families. That's the reason they were elected. They ought to keep that in mind, and that's what I would make sure I would enforce.
You might take this with a grain of salt, but there's this matter of Pennsylvania's dismal track record in electing women candidates. What do you think you'd bring to the table that your male counterparts wouldn't?
Well, I do think it's not just any woman, let me put it that way. It's a woman with experience who and stands up for Pennsylvania values and Pennsylvania priorities, and that's what I would do. But as a woman, I do bring I think in some ways, sometimes a different attitude, a different perspective, different life experience. And I know I've been in rooms where I sometimes think no one else would have thought of that if I hadn't been there, or no one else might have approached the challenge the way I did. No one, you know, others, certainly I work with men and women, that's important. But it is something to make sure that women are in leadership positions in the private sector, in the public sector, and there's absolutely no reason why not a woman. We do bring different experiences, but in this case, I bring more experience and a record of accomplishment than anyone else.
There are some Democrats who say that you're progressive on social issues like gay marriage and a woman's right to choose, but that you take pro-business stances that aren't helpful to the struggling middle class. And so I'm wondering how you would respond to that and what you would do to bring jobs to Pennsylvanians.
Well, let me just say, I do have, I think that I consider myself, you look at my reputation, you look at the work I've done, and I care deeply about making sure that everybody has opportunity. I believe that's why I support education as strongly as I do. I feel very strongly about health care and making sure that we actually do use the Affordable Care Act to get health care to all Pennsylvanians. And so I think those are progressive as well. So it's not just on the social issues, as you point out, although I'm very proud of being pro-choice and supportive of non-discrimination and marriage equality. And on economic growth, I think it is very important, and I come at this way, to make sure that we grow the economy. What the government can do and what I think as a state can do are several things, and as governor I would do, which is to make sure that we're educating our people, that includes workforce training and retraining in some cases, and that's been a great strength. I would absolutely make sure that we get this energy right in the Marcellus Shale and making sure that we drill responsibly and that we tax the energy companies, those drillers, and use that 5% extraction tax to put it to work to grow the economy across Pennsylvania, including investments in big infrastructure projects and transportation so that we move goods and people and that we make the kind of investments in pipeline that can bring inexpensive energy to manufacturers so that we can retain it and grow advanced manufacturing across Pennsylvania. This is very, very important way for us to build that opportunity for job growth. And I would build on the other assets, again, in biotech and in life sciences and engineering and new product development and making sure we do that kind of research in Pennsylvania, be able to help promote small businesses that are the startup businesses and the growth industries. Those are all things we can do in Pennsylvania. As governor, I should and I will. So some of the idea that I actually know how to work with the business community and am willing to and work with the private sector, I do believe that that's extremely important to the next governor. And I think the next governor should know, and I do. I've worked on tax policy and on the way we actually make sure that we balance the budget, which of course is a constitutional requirement of the state to do that, which means setting the right priorities for job growth and economic development in Pennsylvania.
Let me end with this. Should you win, what would be your first priority day one?
You know, I always want to say more than one, but I would say that my top priority would to make sure that we educate our children in Pennsylvania. There's been a huge failing of our governor in his cuts to basic education and to college affordability. I sometimes have to throw in health care because this Affordable Care Act is a great opportunity for us to make sure that we get health care to Pennsylvanians as well. And then we're going to grow the economy. How's that? I have to give you all three.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with us and best wishes to you as you continue your campaign.
Thank you. And thanks to your listeners, too.
That was Congresswoman Allison Schwartz in an interview recorded on April 25th. Prior to her service in Congress, she was a healthcare executive in Philadelphia